In his day, J.C. Ryle was without question the best of the Anglican preachers, excelled by very few in the Anglican Church. I know of none today of whom I can speak highly, but Ryle was a man whose work was commendable. He made this observation many, many years ago. There are two ways a man may lose his own soul. He may lose his soul by living and dying without any religion at all. He may live and die like a beast, prayerless, godless, graceless, and faithless. This is a sure way to go to hell. Second, he wrote, he may lose his soul by taking up some useless kind of religion. He may live and die contenting himself with a false Christianity, resting on a baseless hope. This is the most common way to hell that there is. I want, if God will enable me, to talk plainly to you tonight about useless religion. You may think, Pastor, what is useless religion? Surely any religion is better than no religion. Not so. Not so. Not so. Useless religion is far worse than no religion. Because useless religion convinces unregenerate men and women that all is well with their souls when nothing is well with their souls. Paul describes it as eating and drinking damnation to themselves. Useless religion. Men and women who practice religion without knowing God. Men and women who go through the motions of religion and don't know Christ. Men and women, boys and girls who observe the ordinances of religion with no knowledge of God in Christ. With every act of religious devotion, eat and drink damnation to themselves. Oh my God, teach us this. Teach us this. There are some, I'm certain none of you, but there are some who wonder why I don't chase ambulances and try to get folks to make professions of faith, and why we don't psychologically manipulate people's minds with stories and invitations and get them to come join the church, make a profession of faith, why we don't sprinkle babies and call it baptizing babies and get them into the church early. I'll tell you why. I'm more concerned for your soul than I am for your name on the church roll. Amen, Lord. Do you understand what I'm saying? Useless religion is damning. It is damning. It's not indifference, it's damning. It's damning. The scriptures are so plain and so full of warning. All false religion is useless religion. And all useless religion is idolatry. Open your Bibles again to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Paul says that men and women in the practice of religion, in the use of a form of godliness, eat and drink damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body, specifically identifying the problem, not discerning the Lord's body, not understanding who Christ is, why he came into this world, what he did while he was here, what he accomplished by his obedience unto death and the sacrifice of himself, not understanding how that righteousness comes to sinners only by the substitutionary accomplishments of Christ, not discerning how it is that God saves sinners by his grace through the sacrifice of his Son. Look here in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 18. Here, God's prophet Habakkuk, writing by divine inspiration, denounced the useless religion of Babylon as soul-damning idolatry. Habakkuk 2:18. What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it? The molten image and the teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols. Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake! To the dumb stone, arise! It shall teach. Behold, it's overlaid, or laid over with gold and silver. And in case you haven't noticed, there's no breath at all in the midst of it. Arise! Oh God, awake! And they beat, and they cut themselves, and they leap and dance on the altar, and they cry and they roar. But didn't you notice? It's just a stump. It's overlaid with gold, but it can't breathe, let alone work. It can't breathe, let alone arise. It can't breathe, let alone perform a work. Turn back to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Now let me be crystal, crystal clear. I want no one to mistake me. I want no one to misunderstand me. I want no one to fail to hear and hear clearly what I'm saying. Useless religion is any religion in which the Lord Jesus Christ is not the solitary object of faith. The only object of faith. What do you trust? Who do you trust? Your experience or his expiation? Your performance or his performance? Your merits or his merits? Your work or his work? Your deeds or his dying? What do you trust? Well, Brother Don, I trust Christ, but that's just where most folks are. I trust Christ, and that's just where most folks are. Useless religion is any religion that does not have Christ alone as the object of its faith. Useless religion is any religion that denies the merit and efficacy of Christ's precious sin-atoning blood. Limited atonement, in case anybody misunderstands. Jesus Christ did not die for all men. If he did, his blood's not worth spit. And to declare that he died for all men and then declare that somebody goes to hell is to declare that Jesus Christ is not God. And that's useless religion. Oh, Brother Todd, you can't say that. I don't know why people have such a problem with that. Well, I really do know why. Because they're clinging to useless religion. I really do know why. If I were to stand here and tell you, if I stood in this pulpit and tried to convince you that a fellow who writes that Jesus really was not virgin born, he was really the bastard son of a German soldier stationed in Palestine about the time of his birth, and a fellow, Nels F.S. Foray, actually wrote that. He lectured back in the 40s, some at Louisville Seminary. He actually put those words in on paper. But you know, he's a good man. He's got a good heart. I remember he used to be a drunk. He's sober now. Boy, he used to smoke 3 packs a day and he's down to 1 now. he's a good man. He's good to his neighbor. Oh, he's done such good works. He prays and he reads his Bible and he serves the Lord so faithfully. Now, he's mixed up on some things, but he's a dear brother. If you've got good sense, you would never hear me preach again. If you care for your soul and the souls of your children, you would never allow them to hear this man preach again where I make such a statement. And yet people stand and tell folks all the time that Christ tried to redeem but failed, tries to save but fails. And yet those fellows, you know, they're mixed up a little bit, but they've got good hearts. They're right at heart. If you care for your soul, you won't hear that trash. Amen. You won't hear that trash. Useless religion is any religion that teaches sinners to produce righteousness. You go out and do righteousness. That'd be all right if you could do it, but you can't. All religion except one puts men to work weaving a robe of righteousness for themselves. The gospel of Christ presents men with a garment of salvation ready to wear the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Useless religion is any religion that offers salvation to men by robbing God of his perfect holiness and offering men forgiveness by compromising God's inflexible justice. The advocates of useful religion really have no clue as to the necessity of Christ's death at Calvary. They have no idea how God can be just and justify the ungodly. How God can both fully punish sin without the least bending of his holy character and fully forgive sin freely, unconditionally, through the blood of his Son. How can that be? In Christ, the Lord God Almighty fully punished the sins of his people. Fully punished them. So that justice buried its angry sword in the very soul of God's Son. And now, fury is not in him for anyone for whom Christ died. Useless religion speaks much about the love of God, but really makes the love of God insignificant, useless, and meaningless. For they tell us that God loves everyone. God loves everyone. That sounds so sweet, doesn't it? God loves everyone. Oh, the Lord loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Why don't you put that bumper sticker on the back of Noah's Ark? If God loves everybody, he's got a mighty strange way of showing it. To tell that God loves everybody and some folks go to hell anyway is to declare that God's love really doesn't matter. God's love really is insignificant. God's love, the fact that God loves you, doesn't do anything for you. It's what you do with God's love that makes the difference. Useless religion is religion that makes the blood of Christ, that of great conversation and words and song, but really makes the blood of Christ of none effect. For it declares that Christ shed his blood for all men without exception, even for those who perish under the wrath of God. If that's the case, then the shedding of Christ's blood does nothing for anybody. Nothing for anybody. I've told you many times when I first had an office out here. A local preacher came by and wanted to sell me some insurance. I wouldn't buy it. And finally he said, "Well, Brother Don, what's the difference between your church and my church? What's the difference between what you believe and what I believe, what you preach and what I preach?" I said, if you got a little while, I'll be glad to tell you. And I spent the next several hours. He didn't utter a word except just a nod yes or no. And I got to the crux of it. I said, now you correct me if I'm wrong. You correct me if I'm wrong. If I understand you correctly, you believe that Jesus Christ died, shed his blood, made atonement for, and provided redemption for all men without exception. That's right. That's right. And that he really did not redeem anyone, justify anyone, or secure anyone's salvation, but rather that man, by his faith, makes the blood of Christ effectual to himself for his salvation, redemption, and justification. Well, yes, that's what I believe. I said, that's damning heresy. Amen. That's damning heresy. For you've denied that Jesus Christ is God. And you've made salvation your work and not God's work. You might as well believe in salvation by climbing stairs and kissing the Pope's toe. Amen. You might as well believe that men are saved by drinking holy water or getting baptized. No. Useless religion says much about the work of God, the Holy Spirit, but makes the work of the Holy Spirit an influence, a tugging at the heart. Oh, I believe God's drawing him. If he does, he'll get him. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. The work of the Holy Spirit is not an influence on your heart. The drawing of the Spirit, no man can come to me except my Father which has sent me. Draw him. That's not God the Holy Spirit begging you, pretty please come to Jesus. That's God the Holy Spirit bringing you to Christ. Effectually, with omnipotent, irresistible grace, so that you find yourself by the irresistible power and grace of the Spirit believing God. Is that not what you experience? Is that or is it not what you experience? I wanted, when I was 16 years old, I was terrified, Bob, of God. I spent months tormented in my soul with guilt, trying to believe. I wanted to believe. At least I convinced myself I wanted to believe. And one day, I was sitting right where you're sitting, listening to somebody declare just what I'm declaring to you. And by a strange, compelling force that I had no will or wish to resist, I found myself trusting Christ. That's called the gift of faith. Those who suggest that the Holy Spirit's work is an attempt to get you to believe is useless religion. For it makes salvation ultimately your work and your work alone. Useless religion makes the triune God a pathetic failure. Now, I don't appreciate folks putting words in my mouth. And I want to avoid putting words in the mouths of men even when I detest everything they preach. Let me read you exactly what was written by my very first theology professor, Noel Smith. He taught theology at Baptist Bible College, Springfield, Missouri, for nearly 100 years. I say that because he was nearly 100 years old when I had him. I guess he was probably 83, 84 years old. Listen to this. What is hell? It is an infinite negation. And it is more than that. I tell you, I say it with profound reverence, hell is a ghastly monument to the failure of the triune God to save the multitudes who are there. I can hardly read that without trembling. Without trembling. He continues, I say it reverently. I say it with every nerve in my body tense. Sinners go to hell because God Almighty Himself could not save them. He did all He could. He failed. PJ, that's blasphemy and that's useless religion. Useless religion rests on the footing of man's works, not the footing of Christ's works. Useless religion is any religion which suggests or implies that the Lord our God is unable to fulfill His will unless man gives Him permission. Useless religion puts the creature in the place of the Creator, making the will of the Creator subject to the will of the creature. Making the power of God subject to the power of man. Making the purpose of God subject to the permission of man. Making the will of God subject to the will of man. Useless religion is any religion that makes salvation dependent upon man. His will, his work, or his worth. Useless religion is any religion that makes the sinner feel good about himself. Makes the sinner, I'm so humbled. I'm so thankful for your grace. So thankful for your mercy by which you enable me to do. By which you enabled me to distinguish myself. By which you enable me to perform my will. God, I thank thee. I'm not as other men. I'm not like that publican. Now, I'm a sinner, but not that bad. Now, I've done some wrong things, but I pray 3 times a day. And I fast twice a week. And I give tithes of everything I have. I've been a good fella. Useless religion. Useless religion. Useless religion is any religion established upon the traditions of men, the creeds of men, and the inventions of men. I had a rather lengthy letter yesterday from a good friend who's a Pado Baptist, one of those fellows who slosh water on a baby's face and call it baptism. He was upset with the study in Luke. I sent out, Saturday, I don't remember, on infants in the kingdom of God. Of course, I expected him to be. And he offered lots of arguments and lots of traditions and creeds and history and this writer and that writer. And I wrote back and I said, I don't give a flip. Amen. What the creeds say or the confessions say or Tertullian says. Or Calvin says, or Augustine says. I don't care what any denomination says. I don't care whether Baptists agree or disagree. I don't care whether Papists agree or disagree. And I don't care whether you do agree or disagree. The frown of foes and the flattery of friends means nothing when it comes to God's truth. Nothing. Nothing. That which I've written stands as written. There will be no rephrasing. None at all. And no need to write to me anymore. I said, there's no need to write to me anymore about this. My feet are planted in cement. My mind's made up. And I don't even consider something else. Well, how could you say that? Well, I found it. Why should I consider something else? Why should I even think? You mean you're that dogmatic? Let me tell you something. Sometimes you, men and women too, will ask me questions, speculative things about this book. And I tend not to answer them. Merle, I'm not going to stand up here and preach to you what I think is right. I'm not going to do it. I leave my speculation back there in the study. I only declare that which I am thoroughly convinced God the Holy Spirit has taught me in His Word, and I can show you plainly where it is. That's all. Well, boy, that sure limits you, doesn't it? Blessed limitation. Blessed limitation. Useless religion is any religion that is not built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. Christ crucified the foundation of His church. Useless religion may look good in the eyes of men. It may feel good to those who practice it. But religion without Christ will do the deceived no good in the day of death and judgment. Useless religion will never result in the salvation of any soul. Never. God doesn't use truth, or God doesn't use a lie to teach folks the truth. Amen. He uses truth to teach truth. Useless religion will never meet the approval of the thrice holy God who makes this one demand of everything He accepts. You remember what it is? One demand. I've got a prayer I'd like to offer God. I've got a gift I'd like to make to God. I've got a sacrifice I'd like to offer on God's altar. I'd like to lay down my life on the altar for Jesus. I'd like to serve the Lord. Well, great. Great. Cody, learn this, buddy. Listen to me now. Learn this. Learn it. Matt, learn this. Learn it. This is the one thing God requires of everything and everybody He accepts. It must be perfect to be accepted. Is that what the book says? Is that what the book says? It must be perfect to be accepted. Perfect. Perfect. Well, that shuts my prayers out. That shuts my Bible reading out. That shuts my preaching out. That shuts out my labor among the barbarians in New Guinea or the barbarians in Danville. That shuts that out. It does if all I've got to offer is what I bring to God. Unless what I bring to God is His own Son. And that's all I bring to God. That's all. That's all. The blood and the righteousness of His Son. Oh God, bathe my tears in His precious blood. Bathe my repentance in His atoning blood. Bathe my most righteous deeds in the precious blood of Your darling Son, by which all that I am is made before God, accepted in the Beloved from everlasting to everlasting. It must be perfect to be accepted. If ever the God of glory is pleased to reveal His Son in you, if ever the Lord God is pleased to save you, if He gives you life and faith in Christ, if God the Holy Spirit comes to you in mercy and sprinkles your heart with the precious blood of Christ, if King Jesus ever invades your heart and throws Satan out and establishes His throne and His kingdom in you, your useless religion, your refuge of lies, He will destroy. Look here at Isaiah chapter 1, or chapter 45. Isaiah 45. I'll wrap this up. Throughout this chapter, God Almighty is describing himself as God throughout the whole chapter. Throughout this chapter, the Lord God distinguishes himself from all the imaginary gods of men. Now, I know so far as I know, nobody here and nobody you or I know in this town worships a stump or is likely to go out in the woods and cut down an oak tree and overlay it with gold and silver and paint some eyes on it and make it smile or frown and give it some horns and set it up and bow down and say, that's God. I know you're not much inclined to do that. But most of the people you know, and most of the people I know, neighbors all around us, family and friend, churches all around us, Baptist and Presbyterian and Catholic and Pentecostal and Methodist and Mormon and Campbellite, whatever other group there is, most all of them, most everybody I know, does go to a dark, dark, dark forest and finds an old, old, petrified tree and makes of it a god and calls it Jehovah, Jesus, Holy Spirit, God, Elohim, the Almighty. And the forest from which they get their wood, from which they carve their God, is the forest of their own dark, depraved minds. And our Lord warns us. Here's Christ, don't believe him. There is Christ, don't follow him. Don't do it. I hear folks and their nonsense religion. I want to scream like the folks on the television program years ago, will the real Jesus please stand up? Because what I hear and what I read by preachers and theologians and religious people these days doesn't even come close to looking like God. No more resembles God than an ant resembles an angel. Here God distinguishes himself. Now watch how he does it. Verse 20. Assemble yourselves. And come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. Now watch this, watch this. You've made a refuge for yourselves. You've escaped the nations. You're religious, as religious as all get out. They have no knowledge. No knowledge. Well, but he's got some good ideas. No knowledge. He's a deeply learned man. No knowledge. He's a profound theologian. No knowledge. No spiritual understanding. No spiritual light. No spiritual knowledge, unless he's taught of God. And taught of God to worship at the footstool of King Jesus alone. They have no knowledge. Watch this. That set up the wood of their graven image. Now what does he mean by that? Read the next line. One of the most profound things you will ever learn about studying scripture. Now, I'm telling you, you really don't have to have a strong concordance. You really don't. You really don't have to have a word study book. Just read the next line. Just read the next line. What does that mean? They bow to the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that tries to save but can't unless you let him. Wants to save but can't without your permission. Wills to save. Oh, the Lord wants to save you. Won't you let him be the Lord of your life? Won't you let Jesus come into your heart? If I can do that, what do I want him for? They pray to a God that cannot save. Darren, that's idolatry. That's not Christianity. That's paganism. That's not Christianity. Oh, but, well, this is my brethren. This is my grandma you're talking about. I don't care if it's talking about me or you. To pray to a God who cannot save is idolatry and paganism. It's not salvation. It's not Christianity. Read on. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I, the Lord? Watch this. There is no God beside me. No God sitting up here on the throne with me. No God who's a rival to me. No God other than me. No God except that God who declares the end from the beginning and does it. No other God. No God except that God who rules the world absolutely by his sovereign purpose, ordered from eternity and revealed plainly in this book. So plainly you can't miss it unless you read the book like this. It's exactly right. It's exactly right. Who is God then? The sovereign of the universe who found a way to deliver sinners from going down to the pit, saying, oh, I found a ransom. Now, Don Fortner, that hell-bent, hell-deserving, God-hating, worthless wretch, now I can take him to my bosom forever by punishing his sins in the person of my darling son until justice says, enough. And justice now demands that every soul for whom Christ died be with him in glory. For God is a just God and a Savior. Did you hear me? Did you hear me? Justice equally with mercy. Justice equally with grace. Justice as fervently as the love of God demands that God Almighty receive us forever for whom Christ shed his blood. A just God and Savior. Now, he says, look unto me. Look unto me. And be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth. For I'm God. And beside me there's none else. Look unto me. Look unto me. To look to him is the gift of his grace. For he gives us eyes to see, and ears to hear, and heart to believe. Looking to him who saves us alone by his grace. And yet our Lord says to that woman who anointed him and kissed his feet, thy faith hath saved thee. He said to blind Bartimaeus, thy faith hath saved thee. And here he calls for us to do something. He calls for sinners to do something. Look. Look. Well, Brother Don, you know a dead sinner can't do anything. I know, but you got to look. You got to believe. You got to trust Christ. You got to. You won't be saved unless you do. Thy faith hath saved thee. Look unto me and be ye saved. Well, they can't both be so. Yes, they can. I read them both to you out of this book, didn't I? I most certainly can. How can a dead man look? If God gives him life, he'll look. Amen. If God reveals Christ in you, you'll look. If the Lord Jesus knocks down your heart's door and enters in with his omnipotent grace and makes himself known in you, you look to him. You look. You realize that your faith in Him now declares to your conscience that you're just with God. Just through the sacrifice of Christ. Just by His righteousness accepted in the Beloved. Oh God, thank You for that gift of faith that looks out of self to the Savior. Now, children of God, I repeat to you one more time what I've said to you so many times. As ye therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Joe, how was it first you received Him? You looked out of yourself to Him. Oh, where do I get it? Oh, Brother Don, I'm having trouble with the shirts. Quit looking in here. Quit looking in here. Quit looking down here. Look out of yourself to the substitute. Yonder, seated in glory, is a man with whom I am one and who is one with me. And God Almighty accepts me in Him. One with Christ my Savior. God give you such grace, I ask for Christ's sake. Amen.